According to the program I heard and I received, even when I was still in Uganda, I was only to preach here. But when I came, I was asked to sing also. So I do one of those. If I sing, I'll not preach. And if I preach, I don't sing. But I can sing, even when I don't come from that city where there are many singers of pitches. Sanyukira ekigambo kino, Yesu Mukama atwagala nnyo. Alina bingi ebinsanyusa, ekyo ekisinga nti nze nkwagala. Anjagala, Yesu anjagala, nga kitalo kunjagala. Anjagala, olw'ekisa kye, nange kamwagale. It talks about Jesus and God's love. That what a wonder that he loves us. And that chorus, Anjagala, Anjagala means he loves me. And actually that's my father's name, Njagala. I'll start with a short story, then I'll go into the preaching. In my country, so many years ago, there happened to be a young girl who got pregnant at the age of 16. And like it were, she lost her chance to go to school because she was in school. And then, after 9 months, she delivered a baby boy. And then, this girl wanted to go back to school, but she couldn't with a baby. So her parents told her that if you want to go back to school, for sure we shall pay your school fees, but you have to get rid of that child. So at 3 months, this girl gets a piece of cloth, wraps in the baby boy, gets a plastic mug, and tags it on the baby, and walks out of the house. And fortunately, she knew the parents of the boyfriend. So she went to their home and she knocks at the door. And the grandfather, the husband, opens the door. And like always, grandfathers don't know what to do with the children. So he told her that I will go down to my garden and get my wife so that they can receive you. And this was their first grandchild. So he went to the garden and then he picked his wife and then he came. And when they came in the house, they found the baby, but not the girl. The girl disappeared. And from that boy is me. That is how I started life. And that's why I have sung that song. Because it was only, and it is only by that love that I survived. I couldn't have survived. Because my grandparents didn't have any experience whatsoever to look after babies of 3 months without a mother. They even didn't have a cow for milk, leave alone the money to buy the milk. Also, my grandmother today tells me they didn't have even a flask to keep something warm for the baby. At the age of 5, my father married, but he married somebody else. So after his wedding, they told him, you have to take your son. So I went and grew up with my father and my stepmom. When I became 7, my grandmother insisted that we should look for your mother. So we set on a day to look for my mother. Unfortunately, we found her. I was asked to go and stay with her, and I refused. I remember that vividly, because she was a total stranger to me. So I didn't. Another 8 years later, I was taken back. I was about 15. But still she was a stranger. I wanted to have an opportunity to bridge the gap between me and my mom. I wanted her to be proud of me. I wanted also myself to be proud of her. It was not possible. She died at a very early stage. And after that, that was the source of the passion in me for the disadvantaged children. And when, like I've said, that I'm looking after 1,600 children, most of whom have the same background like mine, or even worse, because some of these children are picked from roadsides or from hospitals or dustbins. I'm lucky that I was taken to my grandmother. She still lives. She's 88 years. I value her very much because the foundation on which I stand partly is her. And I thank God for that opportunity that he spared me, but also for the opportunity he gave me to serve with his children. And when I stand before them every morning, I can relate with them because we have the same background. So that's a bit of my testimony and background. At the age of 14, I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a school where people came and shared the gospel with us, and I was convicted, and I gave my life to him. And he did things in my life. He pointed to my weaknesses, he pointed to my sins, and he helped me to put them right and to repent of them. So I'd like to encourage anybody here who hasn't done that, that if you haven't, you can do it even today. You even don't need to go back. You can receive Jesus even today. That's that. And now I start counting my time from there. That was not the sermon. That was a testimony. And I would like us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Because I'm a teacher, I don't want to be out of context. I want to talk about harvest still. So the testimony was just an appetizer. So I would like to share about harvest. And since I got the message that I have to share here, I tried to look in the Bible to look for a text which would help me to bring this message clearly. Because in Africa, the way we conduct harvest services and the harvest celebration in general is very different from what I have seen here. So you bear with me if I make any mistakes, but I hope I won't. But I looked and I wanted to look for a message that will shoot this time. And then I thought that I would like to zero on why harvest. We may look at some types of harvest, but I would like to emphasize why harvest. And then when I read this text, I thought it would help me. Of course, there are so many other texts from Exodus up to even Numbers which can help us, but I will use this one in particular. I'll refer to the others, but I'll stick to this. Can I read that one? When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you have produced, that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and set the priests in office at that time, in that case David. I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from you, from your hands, and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out the Lord, our God, of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levite and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things that the Lord your God has given you and your household. As I thought about this topic, harvest, first of all, I saw that there are about four types of harvests. Like this one, the things that you have brought from your gardens, if you have gardens, from your fields, from your farms and so on, or from your shops and everything, that's number one harvest. You go to a garden and reap something, that's a harvest. Secondly, I looked at ministry. Ministry is also harvest, ministry of any sort of kind. Going out to Africa, doing anything here with the street people, with the prostitutes, with the drug addicts, with the widows, with the orphans, that is ministry, that is harvest. And when Jesus, I suppose that's what your pastor read for you this afternoon, when Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, he was not thinking of mangoes and bananas and carrots. I'm sorry, you don't have bananas here. But he was not talking about that. He was talking about ministry. That is harvest. Thirdly, another type of harvest is your life. The human life, the single person, is a harvest. And when you look at any person sitting beside you or around you, that's harvest. When you think of any person that has not accepted Christ as his personal savior, that is a harvest. If you think of somebody to have helped to lead to the faith, that is a harvest. So the third part is a life of a person is a harvest. And another harvest is when God talks of us and says of taking us to heaven is another harvest. And often we say, so and so has gone to be with the Lord. That is a harvest in the sight of God. But today, I want to emphasize on the first one, because I'm sure your pastor did the rest in the afternoon. Now, why should we harvest? According to the Israelites, God wanted them to remember what he had done for them. So the first reason for harvest is for us to remember what God has done for us. When I remember that God saved me from 3 months, not so many children in Africa would survive after 3 months. If they do, they would survive with hardness. If you remember what God has done for you since you were born, what God has done for you in your family, you as an individual, to give you a job, to give you a home. I know people tend to take such things for granted. But when we think about that, if we don't forget, then we must harvest to God. And that's what was required of the people of Israel. To remember their slavery in Egypt. To remember the travel in the desert. The crossing of the Red Sea. Some people dying. No water. No food. Diseases. Wars. When you remember that, then you don't take life for granted. You harvest to God. You can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 16. It says clearly, remember what he did for you. And actually, the starting of the verse that we read, they say, when you come to the promised land. Secondly, why harvest? To thank God. I know at least in every language, every people say, thank you is a magic word. Sure. And often we don't thank God enough. We think it must be. Maybe for you, you don't have things to thank God for because you are so wise, you have electricity, you have a fridge, it is full with everything. If you need something, you get a phone, you can call, you can order a pizza and then it comes to you. You can even order your shopping on a telephone or even on a computer and everything comes. Maybe you don't have anything to thank God for. But we in Africa, we have things to thank God for because we don't take life for granted. I've seen children in my school who cannot have a meal in a day. But I have seen people here with food enough that they serve it on their plates and leave it on and throw the dustbin. In my country, you cannot open a tap and drink water anyhow. David can witness that. Because everywhere water is bad. Water is contaminated. But here, every spot of water that you open, you can drink. Can we dare not be thankful to God? Because in my country, we cannot have that. When you come to visit me in July next year, please, you have to stick to bottled water. Don't drink any water. So God wanted the children of Israel to harvest in a way of thanking him. And that's why the text I read, it was like an oracle that you took us from Egypt. You did this. My father came. He went through this. So Lord, I bring this. It was to express our thankfulness. It is to express our thankfulness to God. The fourth reason for harvest is to get blessings. I ask you to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Verse 15. For 7 days, celebrate the feast to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. We harvest so that God can bless us. Of course, he first blesses us so that we can harvest. But when we harvest, we are seeking God's blessings. And here it says, to bless the harvest and also all the works of your hand. That's why we harvest. If you want and if you need blessings for your family, for your children, for your work, let's harvest to God. He will bless us. The fourth reason is in the same verse, in the last bit of it. It says, I read verse 15b. It says, and your joy will be complete. You know, if you plant things and leave them there, you don't harvest them, what is the joy of having them? What is the joy of having planted them? So we harvest to complete our joy before God. It gives such a full feeling and complete heart and complete joy when you see you planted one seed and brought out a corn, sometimes with two corns. You feel, but I planted one, and you bring this. That's a great joy. It's like the joy when you present somebody that, Lord, I helped so and so to receive faith, to receive Jesus Christ. I helped this young boy out of the street. It completes your joy. So harvest, the other point, is to complete our joy. But in the same book, text of chapter 16, verses 9 to 12, it talks of who harvests. And I was surprised to see that says the servants, the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows. You see, the celebration of harvest was a family thing, was a family feast. So that even those who didn't have, they come together, and then the joy is complete. So we are responsible as we harvest to come together with the servants, the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows to celebrate together. So that even those who don't have anything to take will share in that joy. As we celebrate harvest this year, have you looked around you? Who are the servants? Who are the fatherless? Who are the less privileged? I invite you to Uganda. You will see so many of these. But in harvest, we have to come together with them. And it's we who have, who will bring, so that also those who don't have will be fulfilled. They also will have joy of it. So, fulfill joy, not yours only, but also for those who don't have. I like the way you do harvest here, because you try to do that. In my country, we don't do that. We bring all harvest in church, and after church, we auction them, and the proceedings go to the church administration. That's not what God wants. He wants us to bless the fatherless, the widows, and the aliens. What I considered as my last point is that one, to bless those who don't have. And if you can read in chapter 12 of the same book, Deuteronomy. I'm sorry to make you open so often, but I know when you go for the Alpha course, it will be even more. So I'm giving you some practice to begin. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 12. And there rejoice before the Lord your God, you, that's number one, your son, your sons and daughters, your men servants and maid servants, and the Levites from your towns who have no allotment or inheritance of their own. You see, when you harvest, even these ones have to be blessed because they don't have. When we come to harvest, sometimes parents will carry things and the children are coming empty-handed. That's not what God wants according to the scriptures. Each of us should have something to take and we shall get blessings. Did I say that was the last reason? No. The last reason is in, you don't need to open, is in Psalms 24. It says, the earth and the is the Lord and everything that is in it. That's why we need to harvest, because it's not ours. Everything that is in the world, that is for God. So we need to harvest. It's not yours. You are just a steward. And I would like to end. I know it's very easy to say that I don't have a garden. I don't have a farm to get a sheep or a goat from there. I don't have chicken so that I can bring some eggs. I don't have anywhere to get carrots. So what can I harvest? What can I take? Psalms 24 says, a broken and contrite heart. That's the best harvest that you can take before God. If you fail to bring a basket, if you fail to bring anything but a broken and contrite heart, that one the Lord will always accept. The Bible says he will not despise it. Because he could despise maybe a sheep if it is lame, if a carrot, they are not the best carrots, but a broken and contrite heart, that's the best harvest that we can take to God. Not saying that we shouldn't bring other things because we can take the hurt, no. But a broken and contrite heart, that's the best. And for that one, anybody of us, every one of us can harvest that. You believe that? Everybody of us can. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for teaching us this evening the importance of harvest and why we should harvest and to who we should harvest. Forgive us where we've been selfish. Forgive us where we've been very forgetful. Forgive us where we have taken things for granted and have not been thankful to you. Help us from today to remember and to be thankful, because then we shall be blessed and our joy shall be complete. But if we fail, let us bring a broken and contrite heart to you, because that's what you desire. I would like to thank you for this opportunity, for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.